This morning we are going to conclude our series where we're talking about led by the Holy Spirit, but it's really not concluding it, okay? It's kind of like putting a pause button on it. We are going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit today, but I realized how vast the gifts of the Spirit are. So if I tried to cover them in one sermon, it would be like an auctioneer trying to get it done, and we would all miss it. And I think what God wants us to do is He wants us to dwell on it. He wants us to savor it, and He wants us to experience the gifts that He's given us and understand them. So, and I've also realized that there's no way in all the weeks that we've spent together just talking about the Holy Spirit that I can cover how wonderful He is, how incredible He is, how much He loves you, how much He's invested in you, and how much He does in you. If I could cover all that and you could understand it, it would be awesome. But I hope you can take this, that God has placed His Spirit in you, the full measure of His Spirit, living inside, talking to your spirit, knowing who you are, empowering you to live a whole new life and experience a whole new life in this world that we live in. So the Spirit is essential to a believer's life as we're walking through. So this morning we're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit, and if you have your Bibles, you can open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're just going to kind of get a kind of more of an introduction to them. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But in the book of Corinthians, Paul is doing something. He's writing to a church that's a young church, and it's a church that, if you picture any church that you've been in that had a lot of dysfunction, a church that you've been in that has been crazy and have been all kinds of stuff going on, this is the church that he's talking to. It's a very dysfunctional church. It's a church that is going in its own directions, and then all of a sudden the gifts of the Spirit are being manifested. They're being handed out, and they're kind of welling up into people, and they're beginning to speak words of wisdom. They're beginning to heal people. The incredible things are happening. But what happens is all of a sudden they kind of go, "This is what it means to be a Christian." Is all these things are you're doing this stuff, or they're taking those spiritual gifts and they're elevating them. Like, this one is the best one. This one's not so good. And Paul's kind of coming in there, going, you know, these gifts, they're something that is very, very precious, and they're given to you by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into a believer, and we have to understand that, He imparts gifts to you. Maybe you don't think you're gifted. You've been given a gift or several times multiple gifts. And those gifts are given for very specific reasons. And Paul will kind of let us know what those reasons are as we kind of go along in Scripture. But the church is one body made up of multiple people. Every one of you have very unique gifts. It's kind of like a making a cake, if you will. There's all kinds of ingredients that go into making a cake. You know, you have salt, you have baking powder, flour, and vanilla, and whatever else you put in cake. That's about all I know, okay? It wouldn't be a very good cake. But anyways, it's all kinds of these ingredients, and not one of those ingredients makes the cake. It's all of them together, and that's what the church is. It's all of us together that make up the church. It's all the gifts that you've been gifted with that make up the body of Christ. And so as Paul is trying to correct this teaching in the church that was going on. It's like if you don't have this gift, then you're not anything, or you're not spiritual. Or this gift is higher than this, and this is the way Christianity works. And so he's like, oh, no. The gifts were given to strengthen, to edify the body of Christ, and to glorify God. That's why the gifts were given. It wasn't so that man would boast about something that they got from God, because you got it from God. It was so that way that the church would grow and would be edified. It would get stronger and stronger. Because if you remember when Christ said that his church was going to have the power to break down the gates of hell. And that's the whole body. Everybody using their gifts. And that's what makes a strong church when we're using the gifts. So a simple definition as we get started. We must never lose sight of the purpose behind the gifts of the Spirit. And that is to build up one another in faith. And it is also to bring glory to God. So as we're talking about gifts, that's what they're given for. So Paul starts out in verse 1 of chapter 12. It says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers. I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols." Well, Because I believe that the Bible is living and active and it's still applicable today. I think these words apply to us. I think he's saying to us is don't be ignorant about these spiritual gifts. Because here's what happens in most churches right now. We're ignorant of them. And what I mean by that is we don't want to look at them. We don't want to explore them. Because of one, you've seen the gifts that people have been given misused and abused. Or you might think that they're a little weird. Or you might even think that you're not gifted. And so we tend to ignore these things. So he's like going, don't be ignorant. Know what they are. Because they're very unique and they're very special. And each one of you have this unique gift that God has placed in you. And it was given to you when you received the Holy Spirit. Now, we just got to pause for a second because we've talked about this several times. But as a believer, you have to understand how did you get the Holy Spirit? And you have to remind yourself. When you were walking away from God, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit worked inside of you. And you all of a sudden were awakened to the fact that you had sin. So you repented from that sin, which means you're turning away from it and you're walking towards God again. And then you're baptized and then you're filled to the full measure of the Spirit. And when that full measure of the Spirit came in and saturated you and filled you to the full, he imparted gifts at the same time. And so you are all gifted. And hopefully as we're kind of walking along, you'll start to see some of the gifts. Or maybe you can even kind of go, God, reveal some of these gifts to me that you've imparted that I need to use within the body of Christ for your glory. So he says, so I don't want you to be ignorant because these things exist. And he says why he doesn't want them to be ignorant. Because he said when you were pagans, meaning when they weren't believers, they were led astray by mute idols, meaning idols that couldn't speak, idols that were handmade by somebody. They weren't God, but they were led astray because they didn't understand God. And it's like Paul is like going, I want you to understand these gifts so you're not led astray. So that way somebody doesn't come in and teach you something false about God's word and these gifts. So it's like going, I want you to understand them. Then he goes on in verse 3. He says, therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. So Paul kind of starts out going, okay, everything is given by the Holy Spirit. The only way that you can come into a relationship is with God is by having the Holy Spirit leading you into that relationship and you responding. The Holy Spirit gives it all, does it all. And so he kind of just kind of starts out going, understand, the gift was given by the Holy Spirit. You didn't have that gift. It wasn't a natural thing that you acquired or you were born with. And then he goes on and he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So you have the same Spirit, handing out different gifts, working in different ways in different people's life, and that same Spirit is revealing who the Lord is. But there are all kinds of different things going on to build up the body of Christ. And that's why we have spiritual gifts. And so never think that a spiritual gift was given to edify somebody or to lift them up above somebody else. Because that's not true. The gift was given to strengthen the body of Christ, to build people in their faith, and to bring glory to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then Paul begins to go on to them in verse 7. He goes, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So right here we find out the purposes of the gifts. So all the gifts of the Spirit that you read about in the Bible are for the common good of the body of believers. It's never about an individual. It's about building this body into something that is strong, that is powerful, because it's the Spirit moving and giving these gifts, and each one of you are going to have very unique and dynamic gifts. They're going to be different from mine. And when you're using those gifts, what's really unique is the body, it begins to be the body of Christ. And it's built up, it's strong, it's powerful, it can't be stopped because of all those gifts are being used and they've all been administered by this one Spirit. And it's all for the common good, and that's all to bring glory to God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. So let's just make it really easy when we talk about gifts. If they're not glorifying God, they're not glorifying Jesus, they're not glorifying the Spirit, they're not building up the body, then it's not a gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's really, really simple when we start to walk through in Scripture. Then he goes on to verse 8. He says, to one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. So you have Paul just beginning to kind of unfold some of the spiritual gifts that you see in the Bible. But let me just tell you that in 1 Corinthians from chapter 12 to 14, those are not the only spiritual gifts that you see. They're all throughout Scripture, and I really don't even think the Bible encompasses all the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit imparts, because anytime you see somebody having a gift and they're using it for the glory of God and for the building up of the body, that's a gift that has been given by the Spirit of God. So he says, all these gifts are given by one Spirit. So it's not like there's people who have these individual gifts, meaning that they were born with them or their natural abilities, but there's a spiritual gift that they've been gifted with that's supernatural. It's beyond explanation. But it's been given to every one of you, and it says each, and you'll notice in a lot of these scriptures, it says each one of you. So if you don't think you're gifted, let me just tell you, you have a gift. You just need to search after it and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what that gift is. Now, here's where I think we get hung up a lot is we want to try to define the gifts by putting them in categories. Like, you know, like we just read, you have people that have wisdom, you have people that have knowledge. We want to categorize all these gifts and give them titles and names. And I don't think that's even necessary for us to really do, because sometimes what happens is we get all worked up in trying to figure out what gift we have that we don't even use any gift. And so what I think is more important is that we develop this heart attitude of saying, you've given me a gift, help me to use it for your glory. And once you start to use that gift, all of a sudden, you will figure out what that gift is. And if you're anything like me, you probably felt like you're not gifted, or you feel like you're not gifted. Because growing up, I remember all these tests and all these sheets that I would go through. They're gifted at this, and this, and this, and I'd read through, and I'm like, that's not me. That doesn't make any sense. Because that's not who I am, and that's not the gift that I really feel in my heart. And so I would always feel like, I just guess he missed me, left me out. But the truth of the matter is, he has gifted me in a very unique and different way with different gifts. And it's a blessing and it's a privilege once you start to walk in your faith, and you're strengthened in your faith by these gifts. Because, yes, these gifts are to strengthen other people, but the gift also that he's given you strengthens you at the same time. So it's a beautiful thing that God has done by gifting us these things. So don't be afraid of the gifts. Now, at Gaines Church, we believe in all of the gifts of the Spirit. We don't believe that there's been a time in history where all the gifts have been done away with, because there are some faiths that do believe that there's a period of time that happened where all the gifts of God are done. That is not true, because it doesn't ever say that in Scripture. There's nowhere that it indicates that. And I believe that the Word of God, when it speaks for all times. And the Word of God, as it's been spoken here, it tells us that we are gifted. We have been given gifts, and they're gifts of the Spirit. And they're applicable for today and in our lives to strengthen us, to strengthen others in their faith, to bring glory to God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that's why we have these gifts, and to make up the one church, the body of Christ. So if somebody says that the gifts have been done away with, what I would try to tell them politely is get into the Word of God, because the Word of God speaks really clear. He wouldn't have put this in the Word of God if we didn't have these gifts for today. And in fact, the church would be pretty much powerless and dead. We wouldn't be filled with the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't be gifted by the Holy Spirit to do the works of God. So the gifts are applicable for today. Then he goes on, verse 11. He says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he's determined. So all the gifts that he just kind of listed there, he says, this is the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's administering those gifts to each one individually. And he gives them to whoever he sees fit. And the reason that I kind of agree with that is because the Holy Spirit is the one who lives and resides inside of us as believers. He knows the depth of my inner being. He knows my heart. He knows everything about me. He knows me better than I know myself. So he knows what gift he needs to gift me with so I can participate in the body of Christ. And I can use that gift to the greatest degree. Because when we use that gift to the greatest degree, that's when the body is strengthened. That's when God is glorified. So it's amazing how all these things go hand in hand. So Paul's just kind of getting us to think back and go, okay, remember that Holy Spirit we've been talking about? Because he talks about the Holy Spirit all the time. He's the one that gives every one of the gifts. And he chooses what gift he's going to give each individual. And I think that's reassuring. Because it's not like I have to go, well, I think I got the gift of this, I got the gift of that. It's like, okay, Holy Spirit, show me which gift I have. Show me and help me to respond to that. And help keep my heart humble. That as you gift me with whatever gift it is, that I don't start to boast about it. I don't start to think that I'm above other people because you've done something in me, because you've poured it into me. You've given it to me freely. And then Paul, all of a sudden, he starts to talk about the church and why these gifts are given. And he starts to give us the image of the church as being a body. In verse 12, he says, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. So he's talking about how interdependent you and I are on each other. When we say the body of Christ, it's not just Gaines Church, it's all believers who believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. That's the church. Now, he's saying that we're all interdependent on one another. Meaning, you know, if you're part of the body, you might be a foot. You might be a toe, you might be a hand, you might be a finger, you might be an ear, you might be a mouth, you might be a nose, you might be eyes, you might be hair. But you're some part of the body, and not one part of that is less. They're all equal, and they're all essential. I mean, if I don't have my hands, then it's going to be hard for me to do the work of Christ, right? If I don't have a mouth, then it's going to be hard for me to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying about the body of Christ. We're all essential. We're all uniquely gifted, and we're all part of this incredible body of Christ. And it is so, since we're part of that body, that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So did you catch that? Each one of you are part of the body of Christ. Each one of you are essential to the body of Christ, to the church, because you have been uniquely gifted. And if you're not using your gift, then we're missing those gifts. And we're not able to be a functioning body. And you also see that the body also, it doesn't get jealous. There's not division because of this. Maybe the hand did this and the foot just was putting on a shoe and creating balance, and the hand got more glorification because of something that was going on. In fact, the whole body rejoices because God was ultimately glorified when the hand was used. So he says, the whole body, we should be rejoicing with each other when we're seeing people being used by God, when they're using their gifts to bring him glory. We should celebrate. We should get excited about what God's doing in them and through them and not jealous. And he says, and by the way, just know that all parts are equal. Not one part is greater than another. And then he goes on and he says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Well, I think the question is, the answer to every one of those questions is no. Because the Holy Spirit administers gifts, and they're very unique gifts, and they're different gifts to every individual. Not everybody's going to be a teacher. Not everybody's going to be a prophet. Not everybody's going to speak in tongues. Not everybody's going to have the gift of wisdom or knowledge. Not everybody's going to have the gift of mercy. But some of you are. And we're going to all have very unique gifts. And when we use them together to one, strengthen the body of believers in their faith, and we use those gifts to bring glory to God, then the church is something that's an unstoppable force, because the Holy Spirit's in charge and in control. And you and I are responding. And we're saying, God, use us. And that's humility. God, use us for your glory here, because we're part of this incredible body of Christ. We're the representatives here in this world. So you and I make a huge difference. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 1, and, verses 11 and 12. This is where you first start to encounter the Bible talking about spiritual gifts. And so I think it's important to kind of go back to there a little bit so we get that base. So when you hear spiritual gifts and you're exploring it for yourself, you kind of understand where it's coming from as well. And Paul, he's writing to a group of people in Rome, and he says, I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Now, I want to read this out of the NLT, because I like the NLT version just a little bit better. It says, for I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by your faith. So some people interpret this verse a little bit wrong. Is what they'll say is when Paul says he's going to come in and he's going to impart his spiritual gifts on these people, meaning his gift is superior to theirs. His gift is going to give them something that they need, or he's going to lay hands on them and give them gifts. But what Paul's really saying is, he's saying, I long to be with you so that I can bring my spiritual gifts and I can share the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has placed in me to encourage you, to build you up, and to strengthen you. Because Paul, a man, cannot give the gifts of the Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit that can give those gifts. But he says, I want to bring those gifts to your body, and I want to use those gifts so we can build you up in the Lord together. And then he says, and I also want to see you using your gifts. Because when you're using your gifts, I'm built up, I'm encouraged, and my strength and my faith is expanded in the Lord. So that's what Paul's really kind of saying in this verse. And sometimes we look at that as like, oh, well, Paul, because he was an apostle, you know, he could impart these gifts, he could give them. No, that's a man. Paul's a man. All he's saying is God has blessed us, one body, with gifts, and those gifts are to be used within the body to build one another up, to encourage, to bring joy, to bring hope in this body of believers. Or in the body of believers in the Church of Christ. So you have Paul in that moment saying that the spiritual gifts are given for a very specific purpose, and that specific purpose is for strengthening others. So if you see somebody using spiritual gifts in a way where it's condemning, or you see somebody saying that they have a spiritual gift of knowledge and they start saying all this stuff and they kind of tear somebody apart, let me just tell you, those are not spiritual gifts. But when you see somebody using the gift of knowledge and they're kind and compassionate and they're talking to somebody and giving them direction in their life, and they're doing it from the heart, not to tear down, and they're speaking into the person's life and they're building them up, that's a gift of the Spirit. So because they're strengthening the body, they're building the body up in the Lord. So anytime you see a spiritual gift used, if it's not building others up, then it's not a spiritual gift. So you have this spiritual gift. It says to strengthen. Well, the word strengthen, it's used also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And it's a message to Timothy. And it says, we sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. So he's like going, we've sent people with these unique gifts to encourage you in your faith, to strengthen you in your faith. That's what the gifts have been given to. And so as they go out, their heart's attitude is not like, we're gonna do all these things for Timothy. Their heart is going, we're going to use the gifts that we have to build him up. Because Timothy, if you know anything about Timothy, he was young. He's very discouraged. He's very overwhelmed. And so instead of somebody coming in and say, do this, do that, do that, they come in and they use their gifts and they come alongside him. And they encourage him. They build him up. And in fact, I, instead of us being so concerned about what gift we have, I think we need to measure our lives by maybe the simple thought. Are we building people up? Are we investing in people and building them up to the point where we're building them up in their faith? I think that's a better measure of a spiritual gift. If you think you have the gift of prophecy and you're speaking harshness into people's life and you're not building them up, what I'm going to tell you is you don't have the gift of prophecy. You're being a critic. You see, it's very easy for you and I to be critics in this world. It's very easy for you and I to talk negative about people and tear people down. It's very easy for you and I to look at somebody and tell them all their faults or dwell on somebody's faults or somebody's errors. But if you're walking in the Spirit using the gifts of the Spirit, you're going to be looking for ways to build people up. You're going to look for ways to encourage people. You're going to look for ways to come alongside somebody. You see somebody straying away from God. You're going to look for ways to come alongside them and encourage them to come back on the path of God. And then all of a sudden they come on the path of God. It's because of you are using the spiritual gift of encouragement to encourage them to walk. And you're building them up. And maybe you're a person who you saw somebody that who's down and they're overwhelmed. And they're all by themselves, and so you invited them to your house, and you had a meal with them. You have the gift of hospitality, where what you're doing is you're saying, "Welcome into my home. I want to encourage you." And you welcome them into the home. You have a meal with them. You speak words of kindness to them, and they leave there with joy in their heart, or with a hope that somebody does care because you're building them up. See, it's very unique. All the gifts of God build people up. And they bring glory to God all the time. And if they're not doing that, then they are not gifts of the Spirit, and you don't have those gifts. So it's really clear in Scripture as a measure to ask a question. Are you building people up? Are you looking for ways to love people? Are you looking for ways to build people up in their faith? Those are spiritual gifts. Then Paul, in Romans chapter 12, 11 that we just covered, I just want to point a couple of things out. Is that first he says, "I want to strengthen you with my spirit." And then it's like all of a sudden you kind of hear Paul kind of in that moment. It's like he's going, "I want to do this." Almost it's like you can kind of hear him go, "I'm a little bit arrogant here." Because his next sentence in chapter 12 is, "That is." Meaning he's trying to explain himself. He's like going, "Don't think too highly of me and my gifts." That is, I want to come in there, and my gifts are no more unique than your gifts. I want to come in there, and I want to use my gifts in a very unique way to build you up in your faith, to build you up as you're walking towards Christ. And he's very humble when he does that. It's like anytime you got to say, "That is, this is what I want to do," that means you're recognizing that this isn't by your power. This is by the power of the Holy Spirit that is inside of you. So Paul, it's like he rereads that 11 and goes, I need to clarify here about something about when I'm sharing my gifts with people. That my gift is no more unique than their gift. And as he does that, you can hear the humility. So if you're gifted and you know what gift you have, use it in humility. Because anytime you use a gift under your power, what happens is you miss God and you miss the mark. There's a definition that I'd like to kind of put out there for a spiritual gift. And it says, a spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively in word or in deed for the strengthening of someone else's faith. And it's helpful for me to think about it that way. That it's a spiritual gift that's given by the Holy Spirit to effectively administer my faith, to share my faith, whether it's in words or in deed, and strengthening and building up other people. It's helpful for me to think of it that way because sometimes we get too busy and we start thinking about our gifts, meaning what we're naturally gifted at. I can put things together. I can organize things. I can make tough decisions and making change. Those are things that naturally come to me. I can show compassion. That comes natural to me. But when that definition reminds me, this is supernatural. This is something that goes beyond my natural abilities. And the Holy Spirit has imparted that in each one of you, this supernatural ability. And for somebody in this room, they have the gift of joy. And the reason that I can tell you that they have the gift of joy is because there's been times in my life where I've just been a little bit overwhelmed or been down, and that person comes into my life, and every time they come into my life, the joy just kind of comes out of them. They see the positive in every situation. They're like a spark when everything is dark that causes a flame to bring light into the room. And it's not something that they do on their own. They do it because it's something that God has placed inside of them, and they're responding to that. And they're humbly just walking with God going, use my gifts. I want to bring joy into people's life. I want them to see the joy of the Lord in me. I want them to see my salvation, my hope, and why I'm even in existence in this world. And that's what the gifts are used for. And every time it encourages me. It builds me up no matter where I find myself. And that's what the gifts are truly for. And but again, it is supernatural. Paul goes on to explain the gifts in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, 3 and 8. He adds a little bit more to it. And let's take a look at that real quick here. He says, "For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with a measure of faith God has given you." So I'll just pause for a second there. So it's been by grace that God has done something. It's by grace that you and I are saved, meaning God freely gave you something. You didn't deserve his son to die on the cross for you. You don't deserve the forgiveness of sin, but by his grace, he gave that to you. And it's also by his grace that he has gifted you. He has given you gifts. And he says, so therefore, don't boast about yourself. Don't boast about, look at what I can do. But boast about what the Lord can do. Boast about him. Be humble. Be very humble with these gifts. And then he goes, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Again, he goes back to saying, we're a body. We're all gifted. You have different gifts. They have different functions to do in the body. And then he goes on. He says, so in Christ, we who are many from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And I read that, and I thought, wow, isn't that an incredible statement? That if you're part of the body of Christ, which if you're a believer, you better be. We each belong to each other. Meaning, we need each other. We need each other to function properly. We need each other to build our faith up, to walk in the Lord together. We can't do it on our own. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit in us, but we need each other. God gave us each other. And then he goes on and he says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So he's like going in. So all of these spiritual gifts, because they're from the Spirit, he says, recognize that first of all, they came from God. God gave it all to you, and then you use those gifts to the best of your ability. If you have the ability for prophesizing, then do it. If you have the ability for wisdom, share that wisdom. And do it from the bottom of your heart humbly with walking with the Holy Spirit. And again, just to remind us what the spiritual gifts definition is, spiritual gifts are any ability the Spirit gives you to express your faith in order to strengthen another person. I think by just looking at all these scriptures that we've looked at, I think hopefully you can see why the gifts are given. And it's very, very simple. It's a simple evaluation. Is it building up others? Is it building people in their faith? Is it bringing glory to God the Father, to God the Son, and God the Spirit? If it's not, then it's not a gift. If it's a gift that is destroying the body or destroying another person, it's not a gift. It's a gift of this world. The gifts of this world tarnish God's gifts. Gifts of this world destroy. God's gifts build up, repair, restore, and bring hope. So Paul in this letter is like going, these gifts are given, but be humble with them. Because you didn't deserve any of those gifts either, by the way. You didn't deserve the grace of God when he put Christ on the cross. You didn't deserve forgiveness by grace. But by grace, God has given these gifts to you too. And what a wonderful thing, because when you start to use that gift that God has blessed you with, all of a sudden you're taking part in the kingdom work. And when you start to take part in the kingdom work, there is nothing greater in life than working with God to expand his kingdom. There's nothing that brings more joy to a person. If you've never experienced using your gifts for the kingdom of God, I would ask you just to submit to God and humbly go before him and say, I want to be used. And he will use you and he will show you his gifts, because the Holy Spirit does not want you to be frustrated because you don't think you're gifted. He wants to reveal what those are. But your heart has to be very humble. And then in Romans chapter 12, 3, at the beginning of the section, it said, for by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance to the measure of faith God has given you. Again, he's telling us, be humble. Be humble from your innermost being, because you've been blessed with this incredible gift, whatever gift that is, and it's unique to you. And be humble and administer that grace and use that grace. And what are we supposed to use our gifts for? For administering the gospel of Christ, right? We're supposed to use our gifts for pointing people to who Jesus is. We're supposed to use our gifts for building up each other. I mean, the gifts are a wonderful thing when they're used properly. And then it goes on in 1 Peter and talks about the gifts, and we're going to close with this. It says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. So every one of you have been gifted. Each one of you. So don't say you don't have a gift. You got it. It says, each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Or the right way maybe to say it, to serve up those gifts to others. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with all the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. So point again to this verse, points out, one, every one of you are gifted. Every one of you have a dynamic gift of the Spirit that he's placed in you. And they're not necessarily in a category. That's why I don't want you to get hung up in these categories. Do you have the mercy? Do you have the gift of mercy? Do you have the gift of joy? Do you have the gift of wisdom? Don't get hung up in that. Get hung up in going, I've been gifted, and Holy Spirit, show me what that gift is and help me to use that. For what? To administer the gospel of Christ to the body of Christ. To build up the body. To build up one another. That's what we need to get hung up in. We need to start waking up every morning and going, God, you are amazing. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for bringing me into your kingdom. And God, will you today do something? Will you use whatever gift you have given me to build somebody up? Before I go to bed tonight, will you use me to build somebody's faith up a little bit today? That should be our heart. That should be our desire when we're walking in the Spirit and using the gifts of the Spirit. Humbly, God, do this for you. Do this for your glory. And then we're partnering with God. So and then Peter says, and he says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. So in other words, again, it's not a man like endowed gift. It's a gift that the Holy Spirit has given. So if you have the gift to speak, you're saying, I am speaking through the Holy Spirit. It's not through me. It's not through my wisdom. It's through the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to speak as I'm speaking to God. And I'm speaking his very word. And then he says, and then if you have the gift to serve, he should do it with the strength that God provides. Again, it's not on your own. These gifts, the gift of service, you try to serve people all your life, and if you do it on your own, you're going to be burned out, you're going to be tired. But if you're doing it with the strength that God gives you, you're going to be able to love people, serve people, take care of people, do whatever God's asking you, and you will never burn out. You'll get more and more excited. because God's using you. And then he says at the end, he says, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. This means that God's aim in giving us a gift was to bring him glory, was to bring people into his presence, to make his name known. That's why we have the spiritual gifts. Because a spiritual gift, if we look at it, is something that I was given to bring glory to me. It's a dead gift. Or if we look at a gift as a gift that we just hold on to, then it's going to rot. And gifts are given to us to be given to others. So you've been gifted to use these gifts in very unique ways. And then I'm just going to, Romans 11:36 says this: For from him and through him and to him are all things. All these spiritual gifts that we just kind of lightly covered, all the spiritual gifts in the Bible, they are from him, they are to him, and they are for him. And it's to build up the church, it's to build up each believer in their faith, and it's to bring glory to God. So when you think about spiritual gifts, what a beautiful thing God has invited us, one, into a relationship with him, one, to have his presence dealing with us, or living in us, and then to have his presence gifting us to be able to be part of his kingdom, to be used to glorify him in this world. Man, what an exciting God we have. Now, what I would encourage you is to take time and continue to walk through looking at the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to look at them a little bit later, because it's going to take us several weeks to look at these individual gifts. Because these individual gifts are complicated sometimes and confusing. But ask God to give you discernment for yourself. God, what gift have you blessed me with? And how can I use it to bring you glory? Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've called us into a relationship. We thank you that you pursue us. You've given us your Son for forgiveness. You've filled us with your Spirit. And you've gifted us to partner with you in expanding your kingdom. And God, help us to understand that all these things are for one simple purpose: to bring you glory, to praise your name in this world, to praise your name throughout eternity. Help us to just get a glimpse of how big you are, how great you are, and how wonderful you are, and help us to submit humbly to you. Help us to praise you with our words, with our actions, and our deeds. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.